Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you all to the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I guess I will add my little bucket full of water to that hole that St. Augustine spoke of and rush in and say a few words about the Holy Trinity on this Feast of the Holy Trinity. In October, this coming October, my wife Paula and I will be celebrating our 25th anniversary of being married. And what that means is that 25 years ago we stood right about here pledging ourselves to live as husband and wife, promising that for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, that we would be spouses. As we stood before God and stood before this community of faith, as a symbol of this covenant that we were making before God and to each other, we exchanged rings, the one I'm wearing, actually, and we said to each other, as we put the rings on each other's fingers, receive this ring as a sign of my love and fidelity in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This invocation of the divine persons, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that all of us who are married have experienced in the wedding liturgy, may perhaps be a helpful starting place for reflecting today on that great mystery of the Trinity. I think it's helpful because just as marriage is about unity, it's about giving and receiving, it's about self-emptying love, it's about the communion of persons, so too is the God who reveals himself in Christ Jesus as one God in three divine persons, united in the perfect communion of love. In speaking of the Trinity as a mystery or as mystery, I think we need to put out of our minds the way in which mystery has often, and I think very unfortunately, been presented to us. It's been presented to us, mystery is that this ultimately incomprehensible theological and metaphysical problem, a problem to be solved, a problem to be understood, which seems more like engineering than theology, but which in the end seems so abstract and so distant from our day-to-day concerns as to be actually irrelevant to the way we live our lives. But let me suggest a different way of thinking about mystery. Think about mystery in this way. The mystery of your parents' love for you as a child. The mystery of the love between you and your spouse. The mystery of your love as a parent or as a grandparent for your children or your grandchildren. Think about mystery in that context of love, which, of course, despite our limited ability to love, always calls us beyond our limitations and beyond our understanding so as to be able to do what love is about, that is, willing the good of the other person as another person, That, I think, is the image of the kind of mystery that the Trinity is. Not a problem to be solved, but a profound reality that we enter into. A reality that shapes and transforms us. A mystery, like the mystery of love, that we live each day. For us as Christians, the Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian life. Why? Because in the mystery of the Trinity is revealed to us the very nature of God. We're all familiar, I think, with that wonderful dictum from the first letter of John. God is love. What does this mean? Because it's wrapped up in why the Trinity is so important for us. When we say that God is love, what we're saying is that the deist God, the idea of a God that's out there somewhere in the universe that kind of got everything going, a first mover, will never be an adequate understanding of the mystery of God. That our God is filled with love, is about love. Therefore, our God is passionate about God's creation. That after creating the universe, our God does not merely impassively observe his creation afar without getting involved. When we say that God is love, we're saying that a pantheistic understanding of God will never be adequate to the mystery of who God is. What we're saying when we say God is love is that God is more than just the sum total of everything that exists. That God is not merely an impersonal life force that permeates creation, but that God is the creator. That God created everything out of this overflow of love that is God's nature. To say that God is love means that even the understanding of our Jewish and our Muslim brothers and sisters, their understanding of God as a unity and a God who acts in love, a God who wills love, a God who calls those who believe in God to live lives of love, that even that, while true, only partially reveals the mystery of God. When we say that God is love, we're saying that it is in the very nature of God to love. That for all eternity, before time and the universe and all of us began, in the very being of God, God is love. God, within God, wills the good of the other as other. And so what we see is we see within God, you can't will the good of the other unless there is an other. So we have somehow personal relationship within the very heart of God. In the witness of sacred scripture that we've just listened to and have been meditating on this afternoon, God is revealed as what? As a community of persons. In our first reading from Proverbs, we encounter the person of the wisdom of God, delighting in the creation of the world, delighting particularly in the human beings that God has made. This wisdom of God, we believe, is revealed fully, revealed completely, revealed definitively in the person of Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, the Word made flesh. This wisdom of God, which existed in and with God before all things were made. In our gospel, Jesus reveals his essential unity with the Father and his unity with the Spirit of truth. That Spirit that the Father will send to animate in love the hearts of all believers and to enlighten us as to who God is and who we are. God, who is love, is revealed to us as this communion of love between divine persons, each divine person willing the good of the other as other. We believe that this mutual giving and receiving of persons is at the very heart of who God is. It's at the very heart of what love is. And it's what we mean when we say God is love. Everything, therefore, the universe and everything that the universe contains, we believe then is created in and through this overflowing love of the persons of the Trinity, and that everything is sustained in being by this perfect communion of love between the Father, who's the Creator, the Son, the Word, and the Wisdom of God, and the Spirit, the Sanctifier, and the Enlivener. That love between the Father who loves and the Son who is loved. Each one of us is made in the image and likeness not of a God who's an absentee landlord, not in the image and likeness of a God who's a personification of the life force, but in the image and likeness of the triune God of the Trinity. Made in God's image and likeness, why? So that each one of us can enter into this communion of love. We share, by nature and by grace, in the life of the Trinity. The Trinity, then, is the pattern for our marriage, it's the pattern for our families, it's the pattern for the life of the church, it's the pattern for human society. When we love others, when we will the good of other people for their own sake, and not as extensions of our own will, of our own desires, of our own compulsions, of our own drive to power, we are patterned after the Holy Trinity. All human beings are. 25 years ago, when Paula and I pledged our love for each other in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we didn't understand anything about being married, and we certainly didn't have a clue about what was coming next in our lives. But when we gave each other those rings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we did this not for good luck, not in the hope that things would turn out okay, but we did it in the earnest desire that as husband and wife, we might, however imperfectly, enter into the communion of love that is God. That we might pattern our lives on the self-giving love of God. That self-giving love of God that's revealed most perfectly and fully in the self-emptying death of Jesus on the cross. We sign ourselves with this cross. We sign ourselves with this cross and invoke the community of love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And each time that we do this, we commit ourselves to making love. That is, willing the good of the other for their own sake, making that the touchstone of our values, of our decisions, of our attitudes, and of our actions. So as we say yes to the mystery of the Trinity, in our daily giving and receiving, in our daily giving and receiving of the gift that we are to each other in Christ, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts. May the Holy Spirit give us the gift of God's love, and may we receive that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.